Cue the fancy intro music. I'm Lisa Robin Young, and this is Creative Freedom, empowerment for creative entrepreneurs, where can-do inspiration and how-to education collide to help you own your dreams without selling your soul. Creative Freedom helps you end the hustle, define success on your own terms, and build a profitable, sustainable business doing more of what you love and less of what you don't. I'm so excited you're here with me today. Let's get started. Happy December. This is it. Coming at you from the quiet college town of Columbus, Mississippi, right here in my living room. It's the end of Creative Freedom Season 5. I know. I'm a little choked up about it too. 5 seasons. 5 years of providing education and inspiration to creative entrepreneurs. And it feels like we just got started with this season too, right? Or is that just me? Well, now that we've finally landed in Mississippi, we need some time to settle in and make our new digs a home. I got engaged back in April, yes, for those of you that didn't know or have only just seen me on the new Disney Plus show Encore. I got engaged to a wonderful guy named Jim, and there's a whole episode I will do in the future about single parenting, running a business, and dating, but I digress. Jim and I talked a lot about what it means to own your dreams. A talented Grammy-nominated graphic designer, one of his dreams was to get out of the corporate J-O-B and get back into teaching at the collegiate level. So we did what I have all my clients do. We looked at what would need to happen in order for him to achieve his dream and then laid out a plan to move in that direction. Like I always say, though, you can't control the outcome. You can only influence it by the actions that you take. So Jim spent the early part of the year applying to, interviewing with, and visiting different colleges, which is part of why this season of Creative Freedom was on the road so often. And we found several schools that piqued Jim's interest, but ultimately we decided to pack everything up and move to Mississippi University for Women, about a half day's drive from our life in Nashville. So he's back in academia, teaching future graphic designers and rebuilding his own design practice from the ground up. Now that was a huge piece of the happiness puzzle that we got to check off the list this year. It didn't come without its own challenges though. Anytime you're turned down for a gig you really want, there's bound to be some disappointment. And then there were the technical challenges of filming and recording on the road. I filmed episode 4 while I was in Michigan in April. I flew there to film a show on Disney's new streaming service. It's called Encore. And it's a show where they reunite classmates and give them a week to put on their old high school musical. Ours was The Sound of Music. And because it was the week before Easter, we didn't get a whole week. We got 5 days. It just dropped on the channel in November. So I can talk about it now, which is why I haven't been talking about it. So they needed to do a background package, which is where they basically film a day in the life sort of thing with some interview content. They specifically asked me to bring my gear and set up and record an episode so that they could film it for the show. Well, I did, and then they didn't end up using it. Or the mini concert that we set up and filmed at a local club. I was singing all my own original tunes. They got some really great footage. There's one picture on Instagram that you can find of me in the club, all illuminated like a star. It was really kind of cool. But the technical challenges of bringing my gear on a plane, packing it for travel, they were educational to say the least. I also learned a lot of other things from that week that I'll be sharing in an episode in season 6 once I get clearance from Disney to talk about it. Now, one of the other things that I talk about all the time is the importance of defining success on your own terms. For me, part of how I define success is having the time to focus on what really matters to me, like my family, my friends, and my creative work. Now, I've built a location-independent business, which means I can pretty much work from anywhere with a decent internet connection. I know how lucky I am, and I count my blessings every day that I can have a business like this. And I also know how hard I've worked for the past 25 years to get to this point in my life and work. Now, when I was coming up, the internet was akin to the frontiers of the Wild West. You know, I've seen it evolve, mature, and grow in ways that no one could have imagined all those years ago. And there's still a lot more to come, I'm sure. But for me, A key part of my success is being able to step away from the work and take the time off to not feel pressured to create all the time just to keep the lights on. That downtime typically comes twice a year for me, when my kids are home in the summer, well, one kid now that my oldest is all grown up, and during the holidays, which is where we're at right now. And then I focus the rest of the year on creating my content, developing my marketing, making the necessary connections I need so that my business keeps running smoothly while I'm not in creation mode. And I'll talk more about this in the bonus episodes that I'm sharing throughout December and January on this podcast. Now, some folks, they do a show every week or they do a year-long show, and they probably have more visibility in the marketplace because of it. But I don't need to be huge, and I've never built my business around a need to be everywhere all the time. And that's part of the message that I've shared with creatives for years now. You don't have to sell your soul and always be on in order to achieve your definition of success. So for me, doing 10 or so episodes in a season for the last few years works really well. I'm a fusion creative, so I thrive on the variety of doing different things throughout the year. Having a shorter season gives me plenty of time to live my life, serve my paying clients, remember the show isn't a moneymaker yet, and create quality content without pressure, and still help you to do more of what you love while I do more of what I love and less of what I don't. Now, I've learned a lot this season on the road, and one of the big takeaways is that I like my show to have a bit more stability and visual consistency, so next season's going to reflect that. We've already started working on a new set design, and I'm super excited about it. But even though this episode marks the end of the official season of Creative Freedom, the bonus podcast series is going to highlight some of the lessons that I've learned not only from this year, but for the past 25 years that I've been an online entrepreneur. Yeah, I feel kind of old saying that, but it's true. I have seen so many people come and go in that time, and I have a lot to say about it. And the content will focus in on lessons learned, but also how I've implemented those lessons in my business and with my clients as well. So speaking of content, this is the episode where I get to rant a bit. Well, okay, not the whole episode, but I need to get something off my chest here. I am so sick of hearing people talking about epic content like it's the be-all, end-all of your business. I actually saw a copy coach the other day say, you're only one email or social post away from making bank, which is utter nonsense. Can one email make you some money? Sure, even good money sometimes, but there's a whole lot more that goes into making that kind of money than a single email. In order to get that kind of traction with your email list, you have to have an engaged, responsive list, which means they already know you, like you, and trust you well enough to buy from you. And that doesn't happen in a single email or social post. And epic content is a hot button topic right now. Over my 25-ish years in the online world, I've seen the phrase epic content evolve into a shorthand that basically means, well, if you can't create viral content, then don't do anything at all. Joe Polizzi, who's probably a linear creative if I were a betting gal, he wrote a book called Epic Content Creation, which uses complicated diagrams and business process flows to prove how necessary and important epic content is to every business. And yet, the book struggles to make the content creation process any easier. And he's not the only one struggling to help you figure out what epic content really looks like. The prevailing theme in the online world is that if you're not making epic content, you'll be ignored because epic content gets shared. Epic content makes waves, and epic content is all that stands between you and your next $1 million. Or so they want you to believe. Neil Patel, ranked by Wall Street Journal as one of the top influencers on the web, wrote a post titled, "The Ultimate Guide to Writing Epic Content That Will Go Viral." I'm not even going to waste my time ranting about how that title is all kinds of clickbait. Instead, let's dig into the content of the post itself. Patel says, quote, "In order to increase organic traffic, acquire more leads, and grow revenue, you need to continually produce content marketer quality posts," end quote. I'm not even sure what that means. What is a content marketer quality post? Is he trying to create a thing here? Like, get some kind of a certification? Are there levels of quality? Like, beginner quality, basic blogger quality, poetic writer quality, and content marketer quality? Do you earn XP points the more you improve your writing until one day you've leveled up to content marketer status? Or was it some kind of typo? I mean, epic content shouldn't have typos, right? Okay. I'm getting a little cheeky here. I apologize. Let's continue. Patel goes on to explain that epic content, quote, rocks a reader's world. It gives them hope and strengthens the trust they have for you, end quote. Now, okay, that makes sense. If that's your definition of epic content, that's not actually all that hard. And we're going to cover exactly how to do that in this episode. But the problem comes in the frequency of cranking out that kind of content. Patel says, you've got to create that continually. Well, that's a problem. Because if you're a creative entrepreneur, you don't have time to continually create marketing content for your business. Patel even acknowledges this a few sentences later, saying, quote, the real challenge is devoting the time, effort, and resources needed to create that kind of art, end quote. And then further down in his article, he's got this pretty infographic that says, quote, clearly not everything can be viral content. End quote. Well, I got two words for you. No kidding. If you've got to continually crank out content, it's kind of impossible for everything to be epic content. Because as Patel points out, you got to invest in your content creation. Even Game of Thrones fans will tell you that some seasons were better than others. But if you're a creative entrepreneur, you're already creating. So that puts us in this weird Mobius loop in the space-time continuum where creation is all that we're doing. Create for your marketing, create for your business, create for your market. Not cool. We need time away from creation. We need time to breathe, to just be, and then come back to the creative process. Besides, there's got to be a way to use some of what you're already creating as part of your content marketing strategy, right? Right. So, let's flip this idea of epic content on its head and look at how any piece of content that you create can be epic, even if it's not epic. And we're using EPIC, E-P-I-C, here as an acronym for the elements of engaging, compelling content that you can share with your audience anytime and in any format, including the stuff that you're already creating in your business. So the E stands for emotional. Entertaining, educating, inspiring, what heartstrings are you pulling with your audience? If you or your child is of a certain age, you might remember Flat Stanley. He was a character developed by author Jeff Brown, and Stanley is a one-dimensional kid who ends up going on all kinds of adventures by mailing himself in an envelope, sliding under doors, and other things like that. Well, your audience isn't Flat Stanley. They're not one-dimensional creatures. They laugh, they cry, they think, they struggle and celebrate, and they feel all kinds of emotions. And that's important to remember when you're sharing content. Even Mr. Rogers, whose show focused on how it's such a good feeling to know you're alive, didn't shy away from other emotions like fear, sadness, grief, or even jealousy. So trust that your audience is just as multidimensional as you are and wants that kind of depth from you. See, we connect through shared emotional experiences. Why do so many action adventure films feature a couple who can't stand each other at first, finally falling in love? Shared trauma. And I'm not saying that that's the best way to make a relationship last, but it's certainly one way we bond as humans. Now, don't go creating traumatic experiences for your clients, okay? That's not what I'm suggesting here. But I'm saying share the rainbow of emotions with them. If you're the goofy, funny one, it's completely okay sometimes to share the darker sides of your life, like that depression that you fought for years. And here's the important thing. You don't have to create all this content. Actually, you probably shouldn't create all this content. You can curate some of it too. Sharing quality content from other people helps boost your credibility. We've talked about that before. Now, if you're going to share, do more than just share it. Actually comment. Okay? Let people see how your mind works and where your heart is at in relation to what it is that you're sharing. That way, people see that you're not just regurgitating the latest viral post. but that you also put some time, effort, and thought into it yourself. You're adding value. You're not just churning the noise. So how can the content you're already creating, already curating, entertain, educate, inspire, or pull on the other emotional heartstrings of your audience? Now, I opened this episode with a little rage, ranting on a topic that I'm sure you've probably felt a little frustrated by yourself. You get to feel my rage when I rant, and that can be therapeutic or cathartic if you're thinking the same way. It's like, woohoo, I am not the only one. Yeah, amen, right? So give your audience the opportunity to feel their feels by making your content emotional too. The P stands for personalized, and by that I mean for your audience, because even your personal stories need to answer the WIIFM question for your audience. Making your content personal doesn't necessarily mean putting their name in the content over and over, although it can be effective to use the names of the people in your audience at appropriate times, like in an email. Calling out your readers by name in an email is easy, and it's a subtle way to personalize your content without doing a lot of heavy lifting to make it happen. But in this case, personalized means it has to be relevant and meaningful to your audience. Answer the old question, what's in it for me? Or why should I care about this? That's one of the reasons why I strongly suggest adding a comment to any of the curated content that you share, because then you have an opportunity to tell people why you think this content should matter to them. Not long ago, I shared a research report that showed how the arts sector contributed more to the economy than several other business sectors like transportation. Sharing that post by itself was compelling, no doubt. But by adding a small quote from the article, I highlighted what I thought was the most compelling part of that article. I then added my own comment saying that I'm not surprised by these numbers at all because I work in this industry and I see it all the time and more people need to know about it. People shared that content because that's what I told them to do. I also told them why they should do it, why it mattered to them if they were a creative entrepreneur. And I'm sure a couple of people would have shared it just because I posted it, but because I appealed emotionally to a specific audience and told them why they should care and gave them a call to action, which we'll talk about in a bit, it got more traction. So make it emotional, make it personal, and make it impactful. That's the I in our EPIC acronym. Impactful means it enhances the conversation in a meaningful way, okay? You're creating something meaningful to your audience. That doesn't mean it has to be world-changing content. It just means it has to make an impact with your audience. Is it useful? Is it relevant? Is it valuable to them? Regardless of what your critics might say, okay? They don't matter. Your peers don't matter. You're not creating content for them. This is for your audience to get involved with. How can you make this content more impactful for them? Now, if you're curating something, like I did with the article I just mentioned, can you make it clearer and simpler for them to understand? Or maybe there's another side to the conversation that you want to point out. For example, a recent post that's been floating around talking about how Amazon paid $0 in taxes for a second year in a row, but nobody was talking about how Amazon paid about 91% of their revenue in taxes a few years prior. Now, whether you love or hate Amazon or what it stands for, it's important to know both sides of that equation if you're a creative entrepreneur, because you have to pay taxes too. And there are a lot of money stories that I hear from creatives all the time. They're all tied up in what it means to pay or not pay taxes or to make money at the level of a company like Amazon. Right? Well, when I get there, or I would never go there. I mean, there's all these money stories. It's important to know where your mindset's at on that. And so this post generated a bit of conversation. And yeah, some of it was mansplaining, but folks were taking a harder look at the facts so that they were making informed decisions. And that was my whole point. Don't just look at a headline and take it as fact. Dig deeper and learn the fuller story. Get the bigger picture so that you stay informed. Now, another way to make it impactful is to put your own spin on something. You don't want to be a copycat or rehash something that's already been done. One of my early episodes this season was about building credibility. I did my research and saw what was already out there, and I saw that people were talking about the crude basics of online street cred.
simple things like having a valid URL or a professional looking email address. But I also knew that stuff was super basic, and most of my audience is well beyond those kinds of basics, and yet they still need ways to enhance their online credibility. So I went deeper, and I took a different track with the tips that I shared. You know, I gave some specific psychological tactics that you can use, things like citing your sources and tagging people as a simple, free, and easy way to instantly boost your credibility in the eyes of your audience. So make it emotional, make it personal, make it impactful, and lastly, give them a clear call to action. And this is where most creatives balk and rely on the old field of dreams saw, if you build it, they will come. And I've already talked ad nauseum about how that's not even an accurate quote from the movie, let alone something you should be doing. You can't just put out great content and expect people to know what to do with it. Give them a suggestion. That suggestion is your call to action. Here are a few that you can use. Share this with a friend. Tag someone who needs to see this. Join my list. Click here to learn more. Tell me your thoughts. Share your ideas. Leave a comment. Call now. Buy now. Learn more. Now, that's just a few of them, okay? And every call to action shouldn't be the same. Otherwise, your audience will develop an immunity of sorts to it. You want to change things up so they don't start to expect the same CTA, the same call to action, all the time, okay? So emotional, personalized, impactful content with a call to action. Again, creating content doesn't have to be hard. You just need to do the necessary planning. And you can repurpose the things that you're already creating or curate content from other people so that you and your team don't have to spend countless hours developing marketing materials. If you need additional help, December is Content Planning Month at Creative Freedom HQ, and I am hosting a series of live workshops for A-Club members to help you plan out all your content for the next 12 months. My email subscribers will get first dibs on any open spots, so get thee to my website and sign up to learn more. And yes, that was a call to action. See, it can be easy to market your business. If you liked this episode and want more than 10 episodes in season 6, we need your support. Leave a review, share our content as part of your curated content plan, or support our Patreon campaign and get exclusive bonuses that are only available to our patrons. We are one of the fastest growing shows for creative entrepreneurs because of you. So thank you for caring and for sharing. That wraps up our regular season of Creative Freedom. Stay tuned for the new bonus episodes leading into 2020 and a whole new look and feel for season 6 in the new year. And may you and yours have a glorious December, celebrating all the holidays, eating all the good food, and enjoying all the great conversations that make your life worth living and your dreams worth owning. And as always, one final call to action. For more inspiration and education to help you own your dreams without selling your soul, come see what's shaking over at lisarobinyoung.com. You know you want to.